Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and this study in our Charting the End Times series titled simply, Who Will Be Raptured? Now that might sound oversimplistic, but we are going to respond to those who teach that not all Christians are raptured when the pre-trib imminent rapture takes place. So stay with us and learn about this terrible heresy held by millions of pre-trib Christians around the world. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin this study in our Charting the End Times series titled simply, Who Will Be Raptured? This is part one of two.
Who will be raptured? Charting the End Times. We'll come back to that after.
I will.
Yay! Now, that doesn't say carnivorous. It is coronavirus. And I just want to had a bunch of people ask me about this stuff, so I'm just going to give you some facts, current events update. And it, well, I'll just get right into it. There need to be serious consequences for China's malfeasance in response to the coronavirus outbreak, according to Senator Tom Cotton. And that's the problem with this thing right now. He was being interviewed on the Brian Kilmeade show, and he says that the Chinese Communist Party has once again been caught red-handed, covering up, suppressing, and censoring a serious public health risk, which he noted could both increasingly be increasingly a global public health risk. Now, that's one of the important things about what Donald Trump is doing with China. Is he's trying to force them to play by the rules on a number of things, including digital and what do they call that? Property rights, digital property rights, and artistic property rights, and that kind of thing. They say it's into the, I think it's hundreds of billions of dollars that have been stolen by China. And before Trump, no one tried to do anything about it. And so another thing is China, they just have, their news media is like ours in the sense that they lie. But unlike ours, theirs is controlled by the government. Ours is controlled by liberal ideologues, and they have an agenda and they push that agenda. But in China, they just lie. It's kind of like Iran, you know, the same sort of situation. So it says for weeks, China did not come clean about the coronavirus that they first said was only being passed from animals to humans in a seafood market in Wuhan in China. But now we know that it is increasingly being passed from person to person. We had our first confirmed U.S. case happen in the last couple of days, and it is spreading around the globe. So this could be a big problem. Now, before this, I'd heard of coronavirus, and it was like dogs. And they have vaccines they give dogs? And because it was not believed to go from animals to human. And so you didn't hear a lot about it. Well, then they found out it could go from animals to human. And now it's going from human to human. So it's like going, just escalating in its ability to spread. And this was the same Senator Tom Cotton who posted this article from Bloomberg that China seeks to stop virus scare. See, that's what they're concerned about, from becoming a political crisis. Now, I should have asked right off the bat, how many of you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about this coronavirus? It just happened in the last few days, so don't feel bad if you haven't heard about it. But in just the last few days, this thing's exploded. It went from just a couple hundred people to now they say there's over 1,000 in one city. And something like Wuhan. Wuhan, is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. You're probably saying it right.
Wuhan. But, yeah, that's where it's at. Seattle is from Wuhan, or Wuhan. And they went to Washington, got off the plane in Seattle, and they're sick. So that's the one case we know of. And Cotton says, in the past, the CCP, which is the Chinese Communist Party, has lied, falsified statistics, and suppressed information about outbreaks in order to cover for its own incompetence. I wouldn't even say it's incompetence. I just say they don't care. There's a difference. This is in their country, and they just don't care about their people. The SARS virus killed nearly 800 people and infected over 8,000 worldwide after the CCP denied there was even a health crisis. So that's the kind of thing that we're keeping our eyes on. Today, as in, what is today? 22nd. January 22nd, 2020. China announced that they were quarantining an entire city. They just announced that 2 hours and 23 minutes ago or thereabouts.
Oh, wow.
So is that the city you were talking about? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how close it is, but
these people they're quarantining the whole city. Can you imagine that? The Chinese government is quarantining the city of Wuhan and plans to shut down the airport and public transportation within hours, which they've probably already done by now. According to reports on these countries' social networks, the virus had been linked to at least 17 deaths and has sickened over 500. I saw a TV thing where they said it's over 20 deaths and more than 1,000 people. So according to getting your statistics from other countries, including the UK, have advised against all but essential travel to Wuhan, which is where the virus was first detected. Now, so the question comes in vaccination. As we've said, we do not tell people to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated, but we do give you the information so you can do what is best for you and your family. And even if you're interested in a vaccination for this, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said on yesterday, that the body is working on a vaccine against the virus, as it will take a few months for clinical trials to start. It may be more than a year until it can be rolled out. So even if they give a vaccine that doesn't have adjuvants that are going to make everybody sick and that sort of thing, it's beside the point. So if anybody brings up about, I'm just going to get the flu shot. I actually saw somebody online saying that. I got the flu shot. I ain't got nothing to worry about. People have no idea. They just think they get a flu shot and they're like, I'm protected from the flu. There's no such thing as the flu. There are strains of flu, and you have to, number one, you have to get the shot for the strain that you're exposed to, or you're not protected. And then the second thing is, even if you get the shot for that strain, it doesn't mean you won't get the flu. People still get the flu. Yeah, Jill?
So my question is, what is this virus similar to?
It's not the flu. I'll let
Charlie. So in dogs, coronavirus is a very severe intestinal virus, and it basically makes you slough the lining of your intestines. It's a really bad thing in dogs. I don't know. It's a concurrent thing with parvovirus and coronavirus normally are a concurrent infection. So I don't... When it has been a... What I'm aware of related to coronavirus, it's a GI thing, and it's really not fun. And it does, like in dogs, it kills a lot of dogs. It normally infects puppies, though.
And the only thing you can do is, number one, practice good hygiene. Wash your hands frequently. Don't stick your finger in your ears and nose and mouth and everything whenever you don't know when your hands have been on things. Every time you leave the bathroom, even if you didn't do number two, I had to teach. I've taught that through the years of young people, and I realize I really need to teach a lot of old people that too, because I've seen them walk right out of the restaurant. Yeah, get a paper towel and open the door, and then wad the paper towel without touching that side of it, and throw it away. Us germaphobes know these things.
That's right.
But I'm not like crazy about it, but when I go into public restrooms, I become a germaphobe. Yes, Jenny?
I was just going to bring up, I looked up where Wuhan is. Looks like it's roughly in the middle of the two populations of Chinese people I know. So my 26 students...
Right in between.
...much dangerous, my boss and my students.
So we keep all that in prayer. Also, just common sense. If... You know, you start feeling, if you're sick, just don't go out. Just don't go out. Don't go to work. Don't come to church. Don't go to restaurants. Don't go, you know. I've only been into like department stores and restaurants a handful of times since the holidays because this stuff's been going around, what, influenza A that's been getting people. But I went to Walmart one day, and this woman's over there. She's like, bleh, bleh, bleh. I mean, you can tell she's got it bad. And she just looks bad, and she's coughing all over everything. Bye. I'm just out of there. You know, that's all you can do. And I feel sorry for the people who work in those places that have to deal with those people. If they're a cashier, if you refuse to check that woman out, you probably get fired. You know, if you just went to your boss and said, she's sick as a dog, and I don't want to get her disease. But... common sense would go a long way to protect a lot of people, too. But that's just, and I just want to say this before we move on. I mean, the whole thing, too, is that this is the kind of thing that more and more you want to see with governments, that they don't care about the people, and they just don't care if you die. They just don't care. And as a matter of fact, the quicker you die, the better, as far as they're concerned, especially if you're elderly. Mark and I were talking about how people who are older are still having trouble finding getting jobs in places like McDonald's and stuff because they would go for the young people. And as far as a lot of people, I'm telling you, you may not want to believe me, but the liberal mindset is old people are just better off dying and making room for everybody else. That's their attitude for old people. You go to the nursing homes, and Sandy will tell you, she's met some of them in there, and she's talked to the workers in there. Most of the nursing homes are filled with people who get no visits from anybody. And their families are within driving distance, and they're not. It has nothing to do with that. They just throw them in there and forget them. And the euthanasia is right around the corner. That's not youth in Asia. It's euthanasia. It's the practice of killing people. Yeah, Johnny?
Isn't that not what you said? Why not? What you're just saying, is that what Scrooge said all is no for saying?
I know, right?
Yeah. If he's going to die, he better do it. And reduce the surplus population.
Yeah, that's the attitude. So there you go. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure. But let's get into our Bible study tonight with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We can open this perfect book and study with the help of your Holy Spirit. For as long as you leave me here, I want to help people understand this book. And I need your help myself to understand it in order to teach it. All of us rely on you and your Holy Spirit to teach us, our counselor. And we thank you for it and ask your blessing on our time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now this looks like some of you probably looked at it and think, man, I picked the wrong night to come. Who will be raptured? Well, we would simply say who?
The saved,
right? But some teach what is called a partial rapture. Did you know that? There are teachers all over the world and all over the country who believe in the pre-trib rapture, who teach that only the really good people go up at the rapture. And the rest of us are going to be left, because I figure they think I'm not one of their, I'm not really a good, you know, because I don't agree with their doctrine. So I'm probably one of the guys going to be left behind, right? But that's what's being taught. There's some big, pretty big names in the past who have taught this. And I believe John Hagee used to teach it. And I'm not sure he still does. But John Wolverd, who didn't teach it, he's a fellow from Dallas Theological Seminary, back when they had much better quality people. And he says, quote, "The modern theory of partial rapture seems to have originated in the writings of Robert Govet, who published a book setting forth the theory as early as 1853. Entrance into the Kingdom was what it's called. In this book, he expounds his view that participation in the kingdom is conditional and depends upon worthy conduct." So that's where it all began anyway. And this isn't a study about the timing of the rapture. It's about the nature of the rapture. These guys, I believe, are all pre-tribbers. They agree with us that the rapture could happen at any moment. They just think that a bunch of you are going to be left behind. Sounds fine, done. you know, I'm not saying it's too bad that I'm glad they're not right. But if they were, then it'd be really easy to tell jokes. You know, you're like, Charlie, after the rapture, you can have my books. You know what I mean? So stuff like that. Mark, after I'm gone in the rapture, you can go to my house and go through my closet and take anything you want. Amen. Well, that's, you know, that's what I was telling Jenny. What we'll see is they basically say there's really, really good spirit-filled Christians and then there's carnal Christians. Most of us, it would have to be, you know, it'd be according to what time of the day the rapture took place. Because, you know, I'm kind of carnal in the morning. I don't wake up real frosty and, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm not real spirit-filled. I don't do a lot of my reading in the morning or anything. I'll turn on the TV and cuss the Democrats, you know. I don't actually cuss, but, you know, but they make you mad enough to cuss. You know, and what's her name on there? Fox and Friends, the perky one, the one that sits in the middle of the couch. There's Ducey on one side and Kilmeade on the other. And Ainsley,
she's so
something. Funny. Yeah, she kind of helps, you know, like, well, you know, we don't have to be nasty. But because she's nice, even though she's pretty conservative. So this is a debate among those who are pre-tribulational, just to point that out again. Look at Hebrews 9:28, and we'll show you an example of the way that they, I'd say in some cases, just twist Scripture or ignore the context or whatever the case is. Hebrews 9:28 is a great Bible verse, like the rest of them. But it says in the beginning of that verse, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and that refutes the Catholic Mass. They claim that the Catholic Mass is a sacrifice that God then dispenses grace through. And that's hogwash, to use a theological term. And turn that off, I don't need it. But the verse goes on to say, let's go ahead and read it together. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So you see there in that verse it says, unto them that look for him shall he appear. And that's where they make their stand there. And they make it conditional for Christians. So that's why this study is a little less clear than some of you might have thought when you saw the title. Who gets raptured? These guys claim that not all Christians get raptured. So look at it again there. It says, unto them that look for him. They're making that the condition. Now, again, you know, where are you going to take that? Again, if I'm up at 9 a.m. watching TV and eating my breakfast, and I'm not looking for Jesus at that moment. I'm just being honest with you. Yeah. My brain's not even functioning. I'm just kind of going through, you know, the motions and doing. And Charlie does that about 4 a.m., don't you? What time you get up?
5.
Yeah, so at 5 a.m., your alarm clock goes off. The first thing, it'd be great if I could do this. But the first thing I think isn't, is he coming? You know, the first thing I think is, he didn't come in the middle of the night. You know, I'd love for him to have come in the middle of the night. So based on this, what you just read, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time. Some claim that those who don't believe in the pre-trib rapture are left behind. So if you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, they say you're not going to go because you're not looking for him. You're looking for the Antichrist. And there's some truth to that. But they say, well, if you're mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib, or don't believe in the millennial kingdom and you're all millennial or post-millennial, in any of those cases, all those Christians get left behind. As you wish. That's it. They're kind of saying, hey, and I saw a guy one time, he said on social media, he's like, hey, I just believe if you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture and you want to be left behind, God's going to leave you behind. And that's not how it works. But kind of be funny if it did, though, wouldn't it? These guys building their bunkers and everything, God just says, well, all right, I don't want you to waste your time and money there. We'll just let you use that thing. But that's not how it works. Even if you look for him at the wrong time, you're still looking for him. See? And so that's I have to be honest with you, I've talked to people who said that they heard that, and they're like, wow, that kind of makes sense. But it doesn't make sense, because even though you're not looking for him at the pre-trib rapture, you think it's going to be 3.5 years after the confirming of the covenant, or close to the end, or 7 years, whatever, you are looking for him. You just got the timing wrong. So they all qualify in reality. Anybody looking for Jesus to return qualifies, according to Hebrews 9:28. But one legitimate point can be made. It is doubtful that a truly saved Christian would not care about the return of Jesus to take us home. How many of you know Christians who don't give a flip? I mean, professing Christians, we're giving them the benefit of the doubt. I know a lot of Christians who really don't care. That worries me. Really does. I just can't understand how anybody who's really saved
cannot.
I want to be with Jesus ASAP. And so I'm concerned with when I'll be with him.
Was it
AMEN? What?
It's a turn of phrase there. Say AMEN.
It's amen.
Amen.
Oh. ASAP, AMEN.
There you go.
And the sooner the better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
There's this time I was on break at work and I was talking to this guy, and he's a mess. He's been a mess since I known him. And those are some of the people who are the hardest headed. They won't listen to anything. And I said, you know, I can just tell you for me. There's this, you know, idea that gets kind of twisted in like the Nazarenes and Pentecostals. But there is, I really believe that after you're saved, you can mature to the point where you just die to self. And you say, you know what? I want to live my life for him. I want to live my life to please him. And all of a sudden, if you have that attitude, even if you don't notice it, other people will notice that your priorities will change, that your actions will change, the way you use your time will change, the direction you're taking in life will change, your countenance even changes. And so I was, you know, telling him, I said, man, I look every day, I think about the rapture and wanting Jesus to come back and all this. And he's like, it's too much arguing about that kind of stuff. I just, you know, I think he'll come back when he comes back. You know, I don't think he wants us to sit around, and, you know, worrying about it and all that kind of thing. You know, I was like, I'm not debating with anybody, are you? I mean, I'll debate with somebody if they want to come up and talk about it or whatever, but I spend very little of my time debating. If you want to believe you're going through the tribulation and you don't want to, you know, to learn, I've got now a playlist. Most of the time when someone starts wanting to debate me on it, I send them a link to the playlist. I don't debate with them. I say, here, I spent a lot of hours preparing and teaching, editing and uploading all this stuff. Watch it if you want to learn. If not, that's between you and the Lord.
Bye.
Bye. I'm busy serving the Lord and enjoying the Lord and looking for the Lord. And I don't want to spend my time arguing with people who don't want to believe the Bible. But it really is something to think about. So let's go back to the rapture text and see who it says is going up with the rapture. The rapture text. This is the number one. There are some good ones, but this one's the number one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I'll read the odd and you join in of the even, and we'll go through this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, let's answer the question according to that text, who's going up at the rapture? Look at verse 13. It's brethren. He just says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He doesn't say at any time in this letter that he's only directing his comments to the really good ones. He just says, brethren. If you're saved, you and Paul are brethren. Amen. Or sister. Look at verse 14. That's some good English there, isn't it? Verse 14. There's an if. It's conditional on what? If we believe the gospel. He spells out the gospel. That Jesus died and rose again. That's who he's addressing this to. Verse 15. He says, we which are alive and remain. So you have to be a brother in Christ, believe the gospel, and be alive.
Amen.
Look at verse 16. He doesn't leave them out. Those of you, some of you here tonight might be dead in Christ.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's coming? How many of you heard the joke? Preacher's preaching on the rapture. And he says, and I've got good news. The Bible says that the dead in Christ arise first. So that means this church goes up first. You ever heard that?
Nope.
That was a really bad Billy Graham, by the way. You didn't have to amen that. I mean, now look at verse 17. Again, he says, we which are alive. So there, that's it. Comfort one another. He doesn't say, comfort the really good ones. And tell the other ones they're going to miss out. Doesn't say it. See how simple it is? If you just take the Bible face value, you don't have... People say, oh, there's too much debate and everything. There is, because the way people treat the Bible. But if you just take the Bible at face value, I think it's pretty clear that everybody who is a born-again brother in Christ, who is alive, is going up with those who are alive. If you die first, you go up with the dead in Christ. It's as simple. But nothing in that text even hints of a partial rapture. Can you get an amen out of that?
Amen.
All right. I think I convinced three of you. Another clear rapture text is in 1 Corinthians 15. I would say this is probably number two of the, if you're going to rank them. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. This will be really clear, but I want to give you a second to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. I love these verses. There's more. I mean, these aren't the only. It's not just these two. You read this on your own. Read the whole chapter, but especially the last half of the chapter is great about the resurrection and the rapture. Read verse 51 and 52 with me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound.